I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. I'm going to read one verse, verse number 28. Acts 20, 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. God made the pastor an overseer, and he is to feed the church of God. My message tonight deals with the subject, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Story is told that it was the judgment day, and everybody got up to the judgment. And Peter said, all right, all you men that were henpecked, get in this lane. He said there was a line of people as far as you could see. All you men that was head of your house, get in this lane. Just one man in that line. And Peter walked over and said, what are you doing in this line? He said, I don't know, it's just where my wife told me to stand. You know, trouble on the job, many times, you know what happens? People get in the wrong lane. People at school, you know what's wrong? People get in the wrong lane. You know what happens in the home many times? People get in the wrong lane. And many times things happen in the church because people get in the wrong lane. We don't want to get in the wrong lane. There are those who think being a pastor and preaching is easy work. But the ones who think this have never tried it. There's more to being a pastor than preaching a few sermons. There's more than being a pastor and a preacher, just get up and open the Bible and talking. Many hours of study goes into the preaching of God's word. Many times while you go home on Sunday and eat a big dinner and get in the recliner for about 3 hours, that's not so with the pastor. He's praying and studying and getting a message ready for Sunday night. Many hours of study. Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 9, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed. He sought out and set in order many proverbs. That takes a lot of time. He sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and the words that was written was upright, even words of truth. Verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Many hours of prayer, much time seeking the face of the Lord. Many hours of care go into tending to people and counseling. It's very difficult for any person to deal with criticism or to be around critical people all the time. But thank God for pastors. They're overseers of the church. A pastor is an under-shepherd over God's flock. God uses human instruments to guide his flock, as well as the Holy Spirit, as well as the Word of God. Stay in your lane. The pastor is to feed the church of God. 1 Peter 5:2, feed the church of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by restraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind. When God saw that we needed a pastor at God's acres, thank the Lord, he laid it upon Brother Decker's heart. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. But it sure is difficult for a pastor to feed sheep if they don't show up to regular feeding times. Amen. Got to take care of the church of God. 1 Timothy 3:5, for if a man know not how to take rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? The pastor points us in a direction that we might otherwise choose to go in a different direction. And we're told to obey the pastor. Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. In verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Amen. Sometimes you have to submit yourself, the Bible says. Amen. Now, somebody said, well, my pastor preaches so hard. Many people feel that way wherever I go. But listen, there's a reason why. Acts 20 and verse number 26 says, wherefore I take you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The pastor has an obligation to preach all the Bible, all the word of God. He don't want blood on his hands. Ezekiel 3:18, where I say unto the wicked that thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. As ministers, we don't want people's blood on our hand. And the only way we can keep people's blood off of our hand is to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. Who was responsible for the things that was going on in the seven churches in the book of Revelation? In Revelation 2:1, he said unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. In verse number 8 of that second chapter, unto the angel of the church of Smyrna. Verse number 12, unto the angel of the church in Pergamos. Verse number 18, unto the angel of the church at Thyatira. Revelation 3:1, and unto the angel of the church at Sardis. Verse number 7, and unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia. Verse number 14 of the third chapter, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea. Who was that? The pastor, the messenger. No letters were addressed to the congregation, to the deacons, to the trustee, but to the pastors of the congregation. Stay in your lane. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant, in season, reprove, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Somebody might say, the pastor rebuke me, that's his job. Proverbs 27:5, an open rebuke is better than a secret love. Nobody's been coming to me this week and talking to me. Not the pastor or nobody else. Amen. I remember what Brother Wills used to say. He said, I've been giving people the benefit of the doubt so long I'm starting to doubt the benefit. Galatians 4:16 says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Sometimes when you just tell people the truth, they become your enemy. As a pastor, you endeavor to help everyone. Perhaps you wish to please most people. But in reality, there's no way you can please everyone, especially if you are encouraging them to change their life. It's okay to disagree, but disagree with the right spirit. Try your best to avoid discussions or complaints right before the pastor's getting ready to get in the pulpit. That's a bad time to lower the boom. It's coming that people will complain about something, quit their position, share something negative right before the pastor steps in the pulpit. That makes it hard to preach. Amen. Matthew 23, I thought about this verse number 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. You know, there's people who build, amen, garnish the tomb of D.S. Warner. They talk about what a great man he was. And I believe he was a great man. You know what? They're living a message, living a life that's far from what he preached. I thank God for Brother Emerson Wilson. I believe he was a great man of God, great preacher. And still to this day, there's people, amen, that they build up his tomb and garnish the sepulcher, but they wouldn't live his message that he preached. You know what? I think we ought to find God's man for the day. Amen. So I've jotted down several things here. Sometimes people say, well, my preacher, my pastor, he preaches things that he hears. Is that right? I don't think a preacher ought to preach on things that he hears. Will you be surprised how the Holy Spirit can lead the man of God to preach on things? Give God some credit here. You know, years ago, this happened at this campground. Nobody that's here, but years ago, a pastor and his wife wanted to meet with me. They had a problem with me. And I said, well, what's the problem? Let's talk about it. And you know what? You wouldn't believe what they came up with. They said, is it true? So I had 8 children come to get me back then. They said, is it true that you send your children out to spy on people and listen to conversations and they report back to you and then you get up and preach it? I said, absolutely not. I have never, ever sent my children to go sit at a table so they can hear what's going on. I try to listen to the Holy Ghost. But they couldn't figure out why I would get up at night and preach things that they had been talking about. I didn't know about it. But the Holy Ghost knows about it, right? God can lay things on our hearts as ministers. I don't know how many times I've held revivals and the pastor would say after the service, I can't believe you said that. You spelled out some things that's going on. Them people's gonna think for sure I talked to you. I said, I didn't know nothing. And that's the way I like it. So you can have liberty. Somebody said, you think it's okay to preach on things people tell you? Yeah, I believe it's all right, because in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse number 10, he said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Oh, he preached on things he heard. Somebody told him something and he got up. He dealt with it in this letter, right? Amen. In fact, I really believe that's the best way, as far as I'm concerned, to preach on situations. Preach about it. Because if you have a meeting lots of times, you know what goes on in the meeting? The whole time you're talking, they're thinking of what they're going to say and they're not listening to you. So anointed message can help where a meeting will not help many times. Somebody said, well, my pastor called people out from the pulpit. That's wrong. It is. 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He called him out. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:20, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've delivered unto Satan, that they might learn not to blaspheme. Now, I don't go around calling people out from the pulpit, but there's Bible for it if God laid it on my heart. 3 John 1:9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. He called him out, didn't he? 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, and the Lord reward him according to his works, of whom thou beware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. The apostles called people out. Then another thing I've heard down through the years, I don't think that preachers ought to get up and talk about other people's religion. I don't think people ought to talk about other people's religion. You haven't read the Bible yet. Matthew 16:12, then understood they how they bid them not to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and other Sadducees. He called them out, didn't he? He talked about their religion. He talked about their doctrine. Mark 12:38 says, and he said unto them, his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces. Galatians 1:13, for you have heard my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He was talking about when he used to be in the Jews' religion. Galatians 1:14, I profited in the Jews' religion. But thank God he got out of the Jews' religion. Amen. Above many of my equals, mine own nation, being exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. It's all right to talk about other religions when they're false, as God would lead and guide and direct. Romans 16:17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Amen. Stay in your own lane. Amen. My pastor preaches too long. I believe we ought to use wisdom when we get in the pulpit, right? The everlasting gospel don't have to have an everlasting sermon. Amen. You know, I heard one time about church having service on Saturday morning, and the preacher got up and he preached, and the guy got to look and said, I got to get my hair cut. And so he got up and left the service, waited in line, got his hair cut, came back to church, and the preacher was still preaching. The pastor got upset, and he went up the back door and said, where'd you go? He said, I went to go get a haircut. He said, why'd you go get a haircut? Why, in the church service, why didn't you get a haircut before church? He said, I didn't need one before church. That must have really been a long message. So we can use wisdom. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. I believe we ought to use wisdom. I've always noticed this about your pastor. Using wisdom. Amen. I think we ought to. Because you think about people in false religion, you know what they're used to? 15-minute sermonettes. And when somebody gets in the pulpit and they've been preaching an hour and they said, now that I've laid the foundation, they're ready to get up and leave. Amen. We want to win people. We don't have to compromise, but we got to consider the day we're living in. And I know many times people refer back to preachers that preach 2 hours and 2.5 hours. Good, that's great. But we can't always do what they did in times past. You know why? Because D.S. Warner and his associates would go into a town and start going through town, and time they got to the other end of the town, they'd have a group and have a sermon that wouldn't work here in Newark. It's a different day. Amen. However, Paul did preach all night one time. Amen. But it's amazing, many of those people that complain about the length of the message, they don't complain how long the ball game lasts. Right? Not even when it goes into overtime. Amen. Well, my pastor runs people off. So did Jesus. John 6:66, from that time, after he preached, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus to the 12, will you go away? And just the 12 was left. He started with a large crowd, but he preached the truth. And he said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And they went away sorrowful. They didn't say, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Well, my pastor, he just don't know how to make the church grow. Neither did Noah. He preached 120 years, didn't have nobody but his family. But he preached the truth. Amen. You got a pastor here that preaches the truth. Stay in your lane. Things just go so much better when a congregation just stays in their own lane. Amen. Well, I believe that my pastor is really a man of God. The people in the congregation wouldn't be backsliding. Jesus was the best preacher in the world, and Judas backslid. He was a good pastor. You couldn't find a better pastor than Jesus. The people backslide. A pastor can't keep people from backsliding. Right? Demas was a fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. Think about that. And he backslid. You can't blame that on the pastor. Well, my pastor's too harsh. You want to know what harsh is? Matthew 14:3-4, for Herod laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. He preached it straight. He looked him in the face. It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. What about Matthew 3:7? We saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. He said unto them, you generation of vipers. How'd you like to have a pastor like that? You invited somebody to church. He said, you generation of vipers. Who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Would you want a pastor like Jesus? John 8:44, you invite somebody to church. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh the lie, speak of his own, for he's a father. And he's the father of all lies. What about Peter? He preached hard. Acts 2:23, and he being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. The very people that killed Jesus. He said, you're the one. You're wicked hands. You crucified the Son of God. He preached it straight, didn't he? That's what we need. Amen. What about Stephen? How did he preach? In Acts 7:51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you'd always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Paul was a hard preacher. He laid it down straight, didn't he? Amen. Somebody said, well, my pastor, he's too much like a dictator. You ever heard that before? My pastor, too much like a dictator. Reminded me of a sister. He got a new pastor, and she wanted to talk to the pastor and said, you know, I've heard other places that you preached, and we've heard that you're like a dictator. He said, let me talk to you, sister, just for a moment. He said, did you know there's a lot in that tater family? He said, there is dictator, but there's also rotator. And they rotate from one church to another. And there's Mr. and Mrs. Irritator, all time irritating somebody or something in the church. And there's also Sister Hesitator. She hesitates about teaching Sunday school class. She hesitates about singing in the choir. And she hesitates about witnessing. And she hesitates about reading her Bible. And she hesitates about going to church. And she hesitates about paying her tithes. Then there's Brother Spectator. And then there's also Agitator. And he looked at the woman and said, if your name is Aggie, my name is Dick. People said down through the years, what we need, not about your pastor, but people have said concerning pastors, I need a more educated minister. My pastor, he's kind of unlearned and ignorant. Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen. God used them, didn't he? People always say, my pastor needs to set Sister So-and-so down. My pastor needs to set Brother So-and-so down. At this campground, one time, a pastor told me that if I sat down, he was having a meeting with a lady and she was wanting to sit down some people. And he told the lady, he said, if I sat down, everybody in this congregation that somebody wants me to sit down, I'd have to sit down everybody in the entire congregation, including you. Stay in your own lane. You think somebody needs to be sit down? You pray about the situation. Amen. Just stay in your own lane. People get all caught up in what the pastor needs to do. You're not responsible for what the pastor needs to do. Amen. Leave that to him. Let him have the liberty. Don't try to force the pastor to set somebody down. I was pastor in Tennessee. Three people came to me telling me I need to set some people down. And I said, well, I will when God tells me. And oh, they didn't like that answer. No, we want you to tell us when you're going to set them down. Well, I can't do that because I don't know. I just know that right now is not the time. Okay, if you don't set them down, we're all leaving. Well, I don't want you to leave, but if that's what you want to do, you're not going to force me in giving you a date when I'm going to do something when God ain't told me to do it. So they left. Eventually, I did set them people down, but in God's timing. Amen. Stay in your own lane. Well, my pastor didn't come visit me when I was sick. Well, there's one thing. He can't come and visit you if he don't know you're sick. He can't call you and check on you if he don't know it. My pastor gets up and preaches and he repeats himself. Well, maybe he's repeating something that you need to hear more than once. Amen. You know, most people said he repeats himself. It's not that he repeats himself. It's what he's repeating that they don't like. Like one brother said, they said, you said that three times. He said, no, I know I did. He said, I tells them what I was going to tell them, and then I tells them, and then I tells them what I told them. Stay in your own lane. I preached one time, and a lady met me at the back door and said, Brother Dishman, you stepped on my toes. And I said, I'm sorry, I missed by 4 foot. I was aiming toward your heart. Amen. That's what we were aiming for. Just don't step on the toes. Aim for the heart. My pastor hits me from the pulpit. Brother Wilson used to say, turn the cat around. Amen. It's hard to rub the cat the wrong way. But if you'll just turn it around, it just works so good, right? Amen. Brother Wilson said, I can't help from hitting you because you're sticking out all over. Stay in your own lane. Amen. See, if you hear something, you ought to consider. If he hits you, maybe it's a need you got. I mean, be humble. Search your heart. Amen. And here's one. People say from time, well, my pastor can't feed me. My pastor can't feed me. You know what I said? You can't feed dead people. Amen. Hard to feed dead people. When I go into revival, if 95% of the people in the church said, you know, my pastor just feeds my soul. I thank God for my pastor. He feeds my soul. But then if there's 5% saying he can't feed me, I know what's going on. Amen. When the large percentage of the church is being fed and you can't be fed, it's possible there's something wrong with you and not the pastor. Amen. Well, I believe the pastor needs to preach on this subject, or I think he needs to preach on that subject. I think he ought to preach this, and I think he ought to preach that. Stay in your own lane. Amen. When you get a chance to pray, don't try to pray the message. Amen. Don't try to testify. Stay in your own lane. God leads the pastor when things ought to be preached. Even Jesus said in John 16:12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them right now. And sometimes the pastor realizes, yes, this needs to be preached, but this person can't bear it yet. Let them keep coming. Let's get a hook in them first. Amen. Even the Apostle Paul said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now are you able. Amen. Leave it up to the pastor, okay? It'll go good then. Stay in your own lane. Right? And then there's been pastors down through the years, people in the congregations give them a hard time because all their children wasn't saved. And they look hard at the pastor because of their children. They're grown up sometimes, and married, but they still hold the pastor responsible. I believe that David was a man after God's own heart, and he had some children that was messed up pretty bad. But it wasn't because David didn't love the Lord. It wasn't because David wasn't obedient to God. I believe the prodigal son's father was a good father. I believe he's a good man. And he had two sons that was lost. He had one that was lost out in the depths of sin, and he had one that was lost in the house. He was full of bitterness and unforgiveness and hate. Stay in your own lane. Life is less stressful when you stay in your own lane. There are three places you can stay for free. It's not the Holiday Inn, but it's in your lane and out of my business and over there. Amen. Keep calm. And stay in your own lane. Because you got to watch out. If you get in the wrong lane, you might have a head-on collision.